Welcome to the New Braunfels OPC Sermon Archive. New Braunfels OPC is a mission work of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and desires to proclaim the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ to New Braunfels and the surrounding communities. Today's sermon is preached by Pastor Carl Miller. Let's listen in.
Brothers and sisters, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We are going to be wrapping up this wonderful chapter here this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. Our focus will be on verses 28 through 33. 28 through 33. But I will begin at verse 25 for context. Join me as we go before the Lord in prayer. O God, our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. How gracious and wonderful you are to give us your very word, your words to us regarding you, regarding our salvation, regarding life and obedience, regarding glory. Lord, you are great and greatly to be praised for all that you have given us there in your word. I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight through Christ Jesus our Lord. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 25. Hear now the very word of God written for you and for me today. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Amen. Thus far the reading of God's holy word, and may he add his blessing to the reading of it to us. Well, Church of God, God's design for biblical marriage has been clearly communicated by the Apostle Paul, even in these very verses, hasn't it? There were marital problems in the Ephesian church, and some of their marriages were in distress. However, Paul didn't simply say, your marriages have problems, you're not acting the way you should towards one another, figure out how they are supposed to look and fix them. No, rather, Paul was very pastoral in detailing the duties of husbands and wives. There is glorious evidence of the work of the Spirit in those marriages and a clear testimony of Christ. Husbands, we have struggles too, don't we? Last time we focused on the command given to us to love our wives well. Do we really love our wives in the way that God calls us to? God sets that bar of what that love should look like high, doesn't he? For he sets that bar at the level of his son's love for his people. This is our model of love, men. We are to love our wives as Christ loves his church. And just how deep is his love? It's so deep that he would come and give himself up for his bride. Now, I hope our previous consideration of that wasn't merely collar stretching for you or otherwise non-convicting. But I hope it truly was convicting and motivating in all the right ways. Considering God's command, how he is at work in your heart and mind in the details of how you can better love your wife, is that work evident in you even now? Is God growing you in Christ-like self-sacrificial love for her? Is how much you value her becoming more evident? Is your delight in her more clear now than before? These are good things to self-examine on a regular basis, brothers. And though we will never love perfectly this side of glory, we must always seek to walk humbly with our God and with our wives, striving to love them more and more with the love of Christ, as we should. Again, why is this so important, men? Because Spirit-filled marriages are to put on display the relationship and love that Christ has for his bride. And further, Paul also taught us the twofold purpose in Jesus' love for his church, that he would sanctify us and cleanse us, that he would set us apart to holy service unto him, and that he would wash us. And Christ did all of this, and he would on that great day, and indeed will, present his bride to himself, a glorious church. Pure, spotless, perfect in knowledge and holiness. He took those who were dead and dirty, and he made us alive and clean and beautiful in him and for him and his good pleasure. Amazing, isn't it? And what do? We lift up our hearts and our voices in adoration and praise. And so Paul goes on in today's text with more instruction for us husbands. He goes on to reveal more of the picture of Christ's love for the church, and he expands our understanding as he does so of the qualities of this love. He does so as he speaks to our need to nourish and to cherish our wives. And so let's consider Paul's very words about nourishing and cherishing in verses 28 through 30, and how that connects and applies to Christ and his body in verses 31 and 32, and as well as the concluding mandate for love and respect in verse 33. But look at verse 28 with me as he speaks to how we should treat our bodies, how we should look at this love. He says, "So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." Now, with Christ's supreme example in view, Paul here reinforces the command to love as he practically applies how we should treat our wives, loving them as our own bodies. Now, some of you may be thinking, "Well, Pastor, if I'm honest, I don't love my body very well at all. I don't eat well, I don't sleep well, I don't exercise as I should. And so if I loved my wife like I loved my body, I'd be in trouble." On the other hand, some of you may be thinking, "Well, Pastor, I love my body all too well. I get it. I'm tracking with you." But what's Paul's point here, men? Paul's point isn't urging vanity to communicate this message. His point is that when it comes to ourselves, our union with our own body is intimate and it's permanent. We tend to be good at taking care of our own needs. We have a feeling, we're moving. We have a need, we're on it. But Paul is saying that we need to look at our marriages as having a similar level of intimacy. We ought to love our wives as our own bodies. And that word ought, it means that we owe that love to them. We need to be attentive to our wives as we are to the needs and the feelings of our own bodies. They are a part of our flesh. And if you grasp that, men, you will do well. Your wife is a part of your flesh. We'll consider that more in a few moments. But remember the second of the two great commandments that we just heard in the law this morning in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39, where Jesus said to the Pharisee, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So when Paul says, "He who loves his wife loves himself," we need to understand that our wife is the closest neighbor that we have. Husbands, if you would love yourself, love your wife. But Paul then explains the reason for this command in verse 29. He says, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church." Now again, some of you may be thinking, "Pastor, I've struggled with despair, with depression. There have been times when I've been angry with myself. I've hated myself to the point of depriving myself." Depression was alive and well in biblical times also. So how can Paul say that no one ever has? Paul here is speaking, my friends, to when men are in their right minds on the matter, when we are thinking clearly and according to Scripture. Matthew Poole said this, "No man in his right senses hates his own flesh absolutely, but the diseases and miseries of it." And so then, what do we do? What are we called to do? We're called to nourish and cherish. Nourish and cherish. These are two important words that may also be two foreign words to many husbands. But the word for nourish, it literally refers to feeding, to nurturing, to bringing up to maturity. As we nourish our bodies, we feed and clothe and supply them with everything that they need. But also we are to cherish. And this word is closely connected to nourishing. It literally means to warm. To warm. Cherishing is warming and comforting another with nourishing and nurture. There is a tenderness in its meaning. And so, husbands, yes, we are called to be brave. We are called to be strong. We are called to defend and protect our wives and our families. But we are also called to nourish and cherish our wives. And as we do so, we need to love them according to their needs. It's easy to love them according to how we want to be loved. But do you love your wife according to her needs? This is often our struggle, isn't it? Most men have to work harder at warmth and tenderness. It's easier for us to make money, to bring in the bacon, to provide in that way and all that that affords. But being warm and tender, taking care of other needs our wives had to have to be nourished, maybe even knowing in the first place or remembering what their true needs are, is more of the challenge. But yet it's not okay to ignore these things, where the status quo becomes a life of relational, emotional, physical, or spiritual starvation because we're too busy, or we don't know how, or we're overwhelmed. We must be committed to make the right priorities and to engage our wives in this way. And why? Because the model, the glorious picture, is again before us. This is just as the Lord does His church. How warm and tender is Christ to you? Do you know His tender love? Do you know His pursuit of you? Do you know His being with you every day? Christ, in His great love, has furnished everything needful for our salvation and brought us into the Beloved. And with a perfect love, He meets every single one of His bride's needs and gives her what is temporally and eternally good for her. He wonderfully feeds us in His Word and by His Spirit. He makes sure that we are clothed and provided for in every way. He knows everything about us. He never forgets anything. And He makes sure that every detail is covered. Jesus is so abundantly warm and tender with us. He is so patient and kind and gracious with us. Remember Paul's words to the church in Philippi in Philippians 4:19. "And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Nothing is left in short supply. Nothing is left wanting because He provides it all. And He knows it all. He knows everything that we need, even as we don't. And that's a good thing, that our Bridegroom knows His bride. And He provides for us in His abundant riches, which as we consider these things that Paul has said, as we consider how the Lord provides and cares for His church, as we consider what He told Philippi and that He supplies for every need, we then look at the 23rd Psalm and consider that afresh. The Lord is my shepherd, and what is true, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Look at what our Lord does. He guides. He leads. He makes us to lie down. When we may say, "No, no, Lord, I'm not ready to lie down." No. Here you go. I can go find the right pasture and the water that I need. No, I will lead you. I will show you. I will give you. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Such a beautiful psalm. Such an applicable psalm to what Paul's teaching the church in Ephesus and even us today. And why does Paul say that Christ nourishes and He cherishes His church? Look at verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now, as we hear these words, these verses should take our thoughts to two passages. One, back to verse 23 of this chapter, where we are taught that Christ is the head of his church and the Savior of his body. And secondly, these words are intentionally similar to Genesis 2:23 and Adam's flesh and bones language when God brought the woman he created to Adam. My friends, in our union with Christ, we are inseparably joined to him in his body. And so there is an important connection then in this, in Christ and his body. Verse 31, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak, Paul says, concerning Christ and the church. So Paul quotes Genesis 2:24 in verse 31. Paul returns to creation before the fall and his instruction of how husbands should love their wives. And why? Because an important fundamental teaching is found in God's design and plan for marriage in the garden. The man leaves his father and mother. He leaves from under his father's household to form his own. The man leaves and is joined together with his wife. He cleaves to his wife. He joins himself to her in such a way that to try to separate the two would destroy them both. Again, one flesh. One flesh. This side of the fall, my friends, there can be struggles with leaving and cleaving. Remember that this isn't just referring to physical leaving. Sometimes parents have a hard time letting go and try to be too involved in the newlyweds' lives, which can interrupt cleaving. Sometimes the new husband or wife has a hard time leaving his father and mother and tries to keep his parents overly involved in the decision-making, even in his new family, which likewise can create problems between the two, the husband and the wife, and cleaving is interrupted. So good, healthy instruction and boundaries need to be put in place and maintained to help encourage and foster healthy cleaving for the new couple. Leaving and cleaving needs to happen as a part of the two becoming one flesh. Sometimes it may be awkward. Sometimes it may be difficult in these relationships as this new household is formed, this new marriage, this new couple is established. But it's good. It's right. It's what God's ordained. And if there's any question as to why Paul quotes this in verse 31, he is again making connection back to the model in verse 32, the mystery of Christ and the church is in view. It isn't that this is mysterious and being unknown, but rather that the reality is quite profound. Adam was a type of Christ, Romans 5:14 teaches us. And marriage is a picture of the church's union with Christ. And so notice then how he concludes his instruction here of a spirit-filled marriage, a godly relationship between a husband and his wife in verse 33. He says, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Brothers, each of you needs to make particular application of God's word to your own marriage. And wives, there are some final words for you as well. Out of love for your husband, strive daily to show respect and honor to him as your head. So I'll leave you with a few thoughts here. Husbands, consider your wife, who is the other half of your flesh, as exactly that. The two of you are one flesh by God's design. Treat her as you would your own body, as Christ does his. Nourish and cherish her, caring for and loving her self-sacrificially. And as you navigate through the hills and the valleys of nourishing and cherishing, keep nurture and warmth and tenderness toward her in your focus. It's easy to let the sparks fly, the anger flash, dealing with the regrets that follow. But what if you put her needs before your own? What if you were seeking her well-being and flourishing as Christ does his bride with great love, as love daily undergirds and flows through your nourishing and cherishing in the ways that God calls you to? The foundation is laid and the relationship is nurtured and maintained in your healthy marriage. So when we struggle, passages like these that we need to go back to have our focus reoriented. When we're doing well, it's passages like this that undergird and support that and reinforce it, that keep it going. Husbands and wives, as the model in this grand picture of Christ and his church instructs and guides our practical duties in marriage, continue to study them and to be on your knees regularly together for the Lord. And I highly, highly exhort you to do that. Because Satan is trying to destroy that very marriage. We need the Lord's help every day in our marriages. Because without his help, they're done. They will fall apart. We need to be in prayer together before the Lord, pleading the Spirit's work in you, that you would both carry out these duties well together in love. And finally, never cease to know with amazement and joy the wonderful love, the tender mercies, the faithful shepherding, the complete provision, the forgiveness and grace extended to us by our loyal bridegroom and Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. Never forget that as much as Paul is speaking to practical marriage duties, healthy marital relationships, he wrote these things that we would see more and more of Christ. That we would see more and more of him. That his love for his bride would be so evident. And that we would grow more and more in our love for him. To God be all glory and praise forever and ever. And may we as his people seek to be faithful and obedient to these very commands, even among all others, for his glory. Amen. Let's pray together.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you are blessed by what you heard today. To listen to more New Braunfels OPC sermons or to find more information about our church, please visit our website at www.nbopc.org.